You know, I've come to realize that a lot, and I mean a lot, can happen in 1 year. To me, life is all about perspective. I can either sit down and think, man, this is going to be the same old, same old. Or I can believe that in 1 year, my life can look like the life I've always wanted. We tackled that very issue in this episode, and we discussed all the things that have happened to us in a year and things that we have seen happen to others in a year. Not only is this inspirational, but it helps us to start believing in something more. We hope you guys enjoy this episode. Please make sure to check the song out at the end of the episode. We love you guys so much. Go to manuelreyes.com for all things merch, music, and podcast. Thank you guys so much. Here's Nights at the Round Table. And welcome to another episode of Nights at the Round Table. It's your boy, Man Weezy. I got my queen, Angela Johnson, my homie, Be Real. We got Jakia Graham over there. Say hello, Jakia.
Hi.
And we are going to talk about something incredibly real today. And I know you say that we always talk about something real. But before we get to that, I'm going to introduce this wine we got. Lily's Collection to 2018 Sauvignon Blanc from the North Coast. Is that another Cali wine? I'm going to assume that we all do Cali wine. It doesn't have anything in the back. So I'm assuming that it's just so confident. That it's like, yo, just taste that.
It's like
that.
Madonna, one write, name, write you your know own who I am. Back.
But let's you taste it first. Tell me what you think.
Well, cheers.
I know, cheers it, but no, you taste cheers. It. I want to hear what you think. She's smelling
smells
it.
Good. Ooh, smells fresh.
Uh-huh. Ooh, and you probably, if you can't see this, you should be on YouTube.
Crisp. This one's crisp.
Watching it, subscribe, share,
ooh,
link.
Ooh, I like that.
Is it good? Sweet. Hold on, it. My turn.
It's fresh and crisp. I like this. This is a good summer day.
Yeah, that feels very summery.
Yeah. It's a weird aftertaste at the end. I don't know what that is.
Did you just brush your teeth?
No. It's a weird aftertaste. I wouldn't say it was fruity. Or would you say it was fruity, Jaki? Is this a fruity?
I liked it. Yeah. I felt for sure it's a summer wine. Like
okay.
At a pool. And then you put like some cold grapes in this.
All right.
For sure.
I'm with it.
I don't know. I like to add things to wine.
thank
it's
you.
It's called sangria.
Yeah, I like all sangrias.
Thank you, Lily, for dropping this off for us. I don't really believe that. So look, hey, what we're going to be talking about today, it's interesting because me and the queen were going through... Do you tell what we did?
Okay, so I have this jar in my office. It's a pretty big jar, and it's a blessings jar. And basically, throughout the year, as things come up, as things that you're grateful for or has blessed you or whatever, you write it down on the card, and you fold it up, and you put it in the jar. And it could be anything from, I crushed my audition was one of my cards that I read from last year. It could be... I booked a movie. It could be had really good breakthrough in my therapy session. Like whatever it is that you're happy about, proud of, write it down, put it in the jar. So by the end of the year, typically people are like, whatever year it is, 2019, I can't wait for it to be over, right? Am I right? Well, then go back to your jar and actually look at all of the blessings that you may have forgotten that this year held for you, and you just read them and it like blesses your life and you're reminded of the wins, the success, the overcoming. And it always reminds me of in Revelations where it says they overcame the enemy by the word of their testimony. Mm-hmm. And it's like the more you say your testimony over and over, it's the more you keep winning and keep winning. And so we were going through last year's blessings. And I opened up one of the cards and it says, we just recorded our first episode of our podcast, Nights at the Round Table.
That was cool.
So we were like, oh man, it's been a year already.
Wow.
That is crazy.
It's not even been a year. June will be a year.
Of releasing it.
Yeah. Because our first one came out in June.
Wow.
So, well.
But it did happen last year.
Yeah. So we wanted to talk about.
Yeah. Well, that led to us like, man, really thinking about a lot can happen in a year.
Yeah.
Like a lot. Like people, we have friends that have gone from like not even close to their dream to the epitome of their dream. It's been something that I felt that is so important because it's so easy to, like she said, just look at your life and not not appreciate what has happened, even in the past year, even if it's small wins. I think it's so important what we did, because there was a lot of little small wins, like you killing it in your audition and little things.
And even
like,
that audition, I didn't even book that one.
Yeah.
But I remember I was so proud of myself. Like I walked out going like, I am so good. I am so talented. Like if anything, that was the win. Like I didn't book it, but I walked out reminding myself like, no, you got it, don't get it twisted. And so like that was a win.
It was a total win, and it made us start thinking, and I'm like, man, what was the most important year? Like what was the year that I saw the biggest change? Because it's so easy to look at your life as a collective whole, and if you haven't achieved or arrived at where you want to be, it's so easy to look at it and be like, you're not that excited, or you feel somewhat of a failure, somewhat. But when you break it down by year and see how far you've come and the things that have happened, like it's something to get excited about. So I thought about me and I'm like, okay, I've had pretty good years. You know, the one that comes to mind the most obviously is when I was acting like a little crazy man before I got married, right? Just wilding out, just chasing love, chasing all the things. And chasing all the things. And then not even a year later, I remember, because we talked about in the last podcast, you know, I told God, I'm done. Like, I'm done being a little hoochie. And 6 months later, I met Ange. And then 6 months after that, we were already married. And I was living in LA in a new house, in a new life. And that all happened in the span of a year. And I would say it was the best thing that could have happened to me. So like literally within a year, damn near depression, because I was feeling like, and I don't know if you guys feel this way, well, especially in dating, it's easy to feel this way in dating. Like you date so many people and you get so close so many times. And me, I'm a hopeless romantic. So I was just like, I wasn't the type to be a hoochie in the sense of I was out there trying to smash, but I'm such a romantic that I was out there just literally giving my heart. Is she the one? Is she going to be whatever? And fully committing, fully going in.
We should smash like a find out.
I never said that. I was always scared of smashing. So I was really like totally like trying to find the one, and it led me to a place where I was like actually super depressed, super not like believing and hopeful. And I remember I would pray, because this I would always think that the physical side was always the problem, because I would always get so into it that the physical would always just come. No matter what I tried, I would have so much overwhelming emotion that the physicality part come. Now it wasn't sex, but it was totally like everything but sex, you know? And I always found myself really like spent after that. And I was like, I remember praying like, God, just take away, you know, my sex drive. Take away these feelings of like whatever. Because I really thought that was the problem.
Yeah.
And then as I did a little bit more deep dive, I realized that the problem was not that I had a libido. The problem was that I lacked faith. I just lacked faith that he didn't have the best for me out there. He didn't have someone. So I took it upon myself to go find someone. And for the first time, when he revealed that to me, I just stopped. And I was like, all right, I'm deleting everybody out of my phone that doesn't bring me closer to Jesus. And I'm just going to wait. And I get a random ass phone call. Dun, dun, hey, have you ever, you should go meet this girl. And I was just like, what? And then even when I, you know, I saw the page, I was like, this is crazy. I don't date Mexicans. Puerto Ricans don't date Mexicans.
The Lord knew you needed a Mexican.
I really feel like he knew, because I'm still like, yo, there's a lot of things that the beauty of our relationship that works is that it's just such a good balance. As much as, you know, there can be days that are like, not even hard. I don't really consider hard, but we can be irritated at some point, you know? But I don't ever feel it, because it's literally the perfect yin to my yang. Yeah. And so 6 months later, I just got a call. I was like, you should check this girl out. And I did. And then 6 months after that, we were married. That's bananas. An entire life change. This is going out to all y'all who are single, you know, and like, it'll never happen. In less than a year, I went from depressed, single, deleting people out of my phone to married, shipping my car to Los Angeles, moving in with my new wife.
Learning what chorizo and eggs is.
That's bananas.
Welcome to a beautiful world.
Yeah.
My story is similar in the sense that I was depressed and single, but I wasn't depressed because I was single.
Yeah.
I was struggling with just depression. But 2015 was like, I felt like I hit a rock bottom in my life. And I try to do my best to stay optimistic. So I always feel like rock bottom is like the most solid thing that you can build your life on, you know? And so I remember 2015 early, most of that year I was in a toxic relationship, which I've shared. And I remember this one moment. I'm actually down here in Pasadena for one of my best friend's wedding. Guy I went to college with, shout out David Kim, you're an amazing man. And I remember being his best man, and I'm standing there at the altar, him and Audrey, beautiful wedding. And I'm looking at the way that they're looking at each other. And it was like for a moment, like the Lord like opened up my soul and I felt the love that they had for each other.
Oh, wow.
And I knew I am not anywhere near that love. And it was like for a second, I tasted a high of that. And I was like, oh shit.
Was that crushing?
Yeah, it was super crushing because I thought, I hope that's available for me. And at the same time too, I knew that the relationship I was in, I would never feel that.
Damn. Wow.
So I literally came home the next week and broke up with her.
Wow.
Broke up with my ex and was like, yep, the Lord, he didn't tell me to do this. I'm doing this and we'll never get back together. You know, like, hey, have a good one, you know? And right after that, that's when I was shipped out to China and when I went to go play. So I'm in China. This is August 2015. And I am depressed as hell, man. And I shared a little bit of this on one of the last episodes, talking about how I reached somewhat of a pinnacle in my dream and I still wasn't fulfilled inside. And so the night that I felt like committing suicide, I remember I'm living in this hotel, I'm about 50 floors up, and the window that opened up, I remember how wide it opened up. And I thought, man, I could slip out of this window and no one would ever like really know, really. Like how long would it take for a word to get back to my family?
Wow.
Like, and I felt so alone. And it was just crushing. So I am rock bottom. I'm like, where's God? He's not here, you know? So like emotionally, spiritually, I'm just at a low. So I come back home early, just right before September. And 2 months later, I fall in love with Maddie. And so it was crazy because 2015 and 2016 were completely different years. Like I had hit a rock bottom 2015. 2016, I'm getting married to the love of my life. I am in full-time ministry. And I started my deconstruction, which again, looking back now in retrospect, I was like, that was so amazing. I'm so glad I went on this journey. But as the time, as it was happening, it was still painful.
Sure.
Right.
But it's crazy because I'm like, man, here in 2015, I was so sure of what I believed, yet I couldn't get out of my depression, yet I wasn't fulfilled inside, yet I was lonely as hell. And in 2016, I find love and love opens this door for me to go on this new adventure. And it was crazy because I would say a lot shifted in my life, but the biggest thing that shifted for me, I think, was my perspective on things and realizing what I actually value. You know, because like values are so important, and I'm learning this right now because values determine the metrics that you use to how you view yourself and how you view other people, right? So no matter what you're choosing to do, you're actually choosing what kind of problems you want to encounter. So if I'm choosing, hey, I want to be in shape this year, right? I'm choosing to run a half marathon and a marathon later this year. What I'm choosing to do is put myself through the problem of having to stay conditioned, of having to log in a certain amount of miles every week, all these sorts of things. Now, again, if I were to hold a gun up to your head and say, hey, I'm going to kill you unless you run this 26.2 miles.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And you would be like, okay, I'll run it. Now, it's a completely different thing if you're choosing to commit yourself to say, hey, I'm going to run a full marathon.
Right.
You're still going to encounter the same pain. You're going to wear most likely the same running shoes. You're going to log in the same amount of miles. But what's the difference? The difference is one, you chose to have that problem.
Right.
Based on your value and your metric system. And the other one, you're forced to do it.
Right.
So it's all shift on perspective because it's the same miles being run. So 2016 for me, I felt like was one of those years where, yeah, stuff shifted, but also like what I value shifted.
Yeah.
So
that's deep.
That's so interesting because just yesterday I was having a conversation with my mom who recently had a surgery that was necessary and everything went well and she's doing great. And she was saying she was talking to a friend of hers who had a bunch of surgeries like back to back to back that were more glamour surgeries. And she was like, man, how do you do it? And she said kind of the same thing about like, I chose this pain. Like you didn't choose it. So it's a different enduring of pain when you choose it and when you don't. So that's very interesting. But I wanted to mention, this is not my story, but it's something that has stuck with me and has inspired me anytime I feel like giving up or even just like getting sad about things. I think about this story. My good friend, Gina Rodriguez, she's very talented actress, producer, dancer, singer, everything. She does everything. You may know her as Jane the Virgin. Very talented. One year she booked this pilot for a network. And it was like a Navy military pilot. And she was like the star of this show. And I remember talking to her about it. And she was so excited. She was going to start training for it, you know, because it's military. She's very athletic. Grew up boxing. Like she's that girl. So she was so excited about this pilot. And I remember she tweeted about it and was like, I'm so blessed. I'm going to be playing, you know, such and such, whatever character on this new show, on this network, and can't wait for you guys to see it. And then she does another tweet and was like, man, just when you think you catch your break, you get knocked on your feet again because her show didn't go forward. It gets canceled, right? And she's like so sad about it and we're, you know, texting about it and whatnot. And then in my time up, because I tweeted her back, like, you know, keep your head up, girl. Don't let this get you down, right? So in my Time Hop app that tells you what you've posted years prior, it comes up. And it was 1 year ago, you tweeted Gina Rodriguez, keep your head up, girl. Because she had just tweeted like, man, show got canceled. I didn't even get to do it. That day that was happening, she was currently the star of Jane the Virgin, where she ended up winning a Golden Globe.
Her first season too, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So it was like in 1 year, this tweet comes back around, damn, just when you think you catch your break. But that wasn't it. That wasn't hers. Hers was coming right up after that. But you don't know that. And I remember I took a screenshot and I sent her that. And I was like, girl, look what could happen in a year. Look at you.
That's insanity.
Right?
Like, that's like a... I remember when you told me that, I was like, damn, man. Like, that's so real. Think about Joe Coy.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing. Doing clubs, some theater, some mm-hmm. whatever. And then he releases a special. And a year later, arenas. What the hell? And that's like, I mean, you don't think about, I think we attempt to think of what our best can be, or yeah. like just like where we could go, how far we can actually make it. But I don't know if it ever measures up to, because I don't know if he saw that. I don't know if he saw arenas all over the world from Dubai.
I think he did. He's so confident in himself. I fully believe if you were to sit him down and ask him, which we
I'm
should,
gonna sit him down and ask him,
I fully believe he would say, oh, I'm just getting started. What are you talking about? This is just the beginning. Like, that is who he is. Where if you ask me, I didn't expect any of this. Like, I still walk into my kitchen and I look out the view of the city and I'm still amazed. Like, oh my God, this is my life. Like, I had hoped for good things, but I'm still so surprised. I'm like, what?
Man.
This is my house? No way. I walk up in the hill in the backyard. I'm like, this is my tree right here?
Do you think that's like what separates them, the people? Because they always say like, if you could see it, then you can get right. there. But do you think that's what separates us from
I don't know.
I think sometimes, like, because, like, if you can, like, visualize it, you can somehow, like, realize it. You know, of, like, it's coming to you. But then I just think there's sometimes where persistence wins.
Yeah.
I remember it's like a lot of the inspirational stuff I see on Instagram to me is super corny. Right, like right, I look right. at it, I'm like, eh, okay, whatever, you
right,
know.
Right.
But there's this one where it's like these two guys digging, you know?
And I remember that.
Yeah.
One.
And we
the little diamond or whatever.
Yeah. And so one guy's been digging a ton and he's about to give up, but like inches away is this like crap load of diamonds. And then there's this other guy who's like, is he further back or is he? Yeah, no, he's digging.
He just started.
He just
so the
started,
guy in the lane next to him, they were both digging down the hole. The guy in the lane next to him has a diamond and he's looking at this diamond. And it's like, you know, let's say as big as a melon. And he's holding this melon sized diamond in his hand and he's like, whoa. And so he's looking to the guy next to him and he's like, oh, that sucks. Like, he got his diamond and I'm over here digging all the way down this tunnel and I can't even get anything. But what we see, the audience, is if he just digs a little bit more, there's a diamond the size of a freaking Jeep underneath.
Yeah.
And that, to me, was speaking more about stay your lane.
Yeah.
Don't worry about what they got, what they're doing. Like, focus on you because your diamond could be, like, two digs away.
Yeah. That's the crazy thing. Like, you just never know how close it is away.
Yeah.
And again, like, obviously, I'm a believer. I believe in Jesus, you know. But for one of those verses that I heard a lot growing up, but actually means a lot to me, is, you know, Ephesians 3:20. And it says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we could ever dream or hope or imagine for our own lives. So, if I really trust God, I gotta believe that he sees the big picture.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm digging and all I'm seeing is dirt in front of me. And he's seeing the diamond on the other end that's possibly next year. It's possibly 3 years from mm-hmm. now, 10 years from now.
Right.
And he has a plan. Like, if I trust that he's made me like who I am inside and all these things, I gotta trust his leadership in my life.
Yeah.
So this path he has me on, I just got to stick to it because on the other side is something even better than what I could dream up for my own life.
You know, and that's funny. Today, when I was taking a shower, I was like super like just praying to God and just giving him this year because this year for us is a big test of faith, you know? And so a lot of things that I've been doing in my life is just vocations and jobs that are sowing seed jobs. I don't know if you guys listening have those, but there are jobs where you're just doing a lot of work, not making any money because you're just sowing seeds. Now, the potential to make a lot of money is there, obviously. But right now, it's not. So I'm sitting here, we're starting in January and praying that at the end of this year, God surprise me. Like at the end of it, I'm going to be not only praising your name, but telling people all over what you did. And I'm praying for the songs that I'm writing and for this podcast. And just like, I have zero idea how he's going to do it. I don't have a plan except for to keep doing it, you know? Like, I mean, I have plans. Like, I have, you know, obviously, I got a social media guy. And we're doing all this thing from merch to taking pictures to make sure that we do a pod every day this, you know, every week this year. But I don't know if any of it's going to work. And so I was just like praying, like, God, I believe that you can make this happen. Like, I really do. I believe that in a year, my life can be completely different. But the sad thing was, there was like this small part of me that was like, just not believing. Mm-hmm. I think that's so sucky. I'm like, damn it.
Two things I want to say about that. Remind me to comment on that specific thing. But I wanted to clarify too about like me, like not seeing it where I'm like, what? This is my house. This is whatever. I think there's definitely something to be said for remaining in gratitude and awe. But I want to clarify that I still see myself successful. Like for instance, if I'm going to an audition and I'm walking on a lot, whether it be CBS or Warner Brothers or Paramount or whatever, and I see these sound stages and I see these productions that are currently working. They're working on this movie right now. They're working on that show. I walk through there knowing my place is here. I can see myself on a soundstage. I can see myself in the writer's room. I can see myself very easily. But when I get it, when I get those things, I'm still very like, whoa, this actually happened? Oh my gosh, whoa. Like my first movie or my first TV show, and even being an extra, like that's how I started. I was an extra on TV. Walking on to the set, I moved to LA and I was like, I'm going to be on TV and I'm going to be in the movies. And then I walked onto the TV set and I was like, wait a minute, I'm really doing this?
Yeah.
So it's like, I can see it, but then I'm still like in awe and almost disbelief with that. And then what I want to say about what you just said, what was your last
that thing? That in spite of like me just doing all these prayers, there was a small part of my mind that was okay. Like,
so I'm reading this book right now, The Artist's Way, your spiritual path back to your creativity. And one of our exercises that we do is affirmations, and it sounds like cheesy or simple, but what you do is you think of an affirmation, something specifically that could trigger you, right? And you write it down 10 times. And what she tells you to do is, as you're writing out your affirmation, listen for what she calls the blurts. And those are the negative things, the buts, the yeah, well, yeah, but all those things, right? So as I'd be writing out an affirmation, I am more than enough and I am capable of standing my ground. I am more than enough. Right. And I'm writing it out and I'm like the first two sentences, I am more than enough. I am more than enough. Yeah, but you're kind of insecure. I am more than, oh shit. So then on the next page, you write the blurts that came out.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you're insecure. And then you keep going till you get to 10. I am more than enough. I am more than enough. Well, then why didn't you book that last audition? I am more, okay, write that one down. And so now by the end of the exercise, you have your affirmation and then you have these negative things that you were self-sabotaging, that really this was your belief that was kind of running it. So then you take your blurts, your negative things, and you turn those into an affirmation. So if it was, yeah, but you're kind of insecure, then you turn that into an affirmation, like what is true? I am secure in who I am as a woman, as a wife, as a friend. I'm amazing, right? And then you go to your next negative thing. So interesting what you just did is a very normal human thing that I'm actually practicing in my book every morning when you see me go into the office, is an affirmation like, come on, Jesus, but, and then that small little, but that's the thing that's like guiding the ship.
Interesting.
That's what you got to address.
So the book is saying that that's the real thought. My affirmations are more like.
Right. And then there's extra layers to this exercise of identifying where that comes from and why that's there and all of that, which goes deeper and deeper.
Yeah, because it's so weird because my work ethic is this, I believe I'm going to be massive because I work that hard that I'm going to be massive. But it's like
Krista told you.
Oh, when I was going to Nashville, she was, it was funny because I spoke these words to her. I was telling her, you know, I'm coming to Nashville like every month or every other month doing these rides, you know, and she's like, oh, really? Every other month? I'm like, yeah, I bought a car, got a house here, renovated it, all this stuff so that I can come to Nashville and rock this freaking sync stuff, this sync whatever. So I'm fully committed. 2 years, I said, I'm going ham.
Yeah.
And she's like, wow, that's amazing. And then my next word, but you know, so we'll see what God does, you know, hopefully, you know, I can make something happen. And she was like, well, why do you do that? And I was like, why do I do what? And she was like, well, you're doing all the actions of faith, but you're not, like, faith isn't coming out of your mouth. Like, why do the harder parts? You bought a car. Renovated a house. That is a lot of money. You know how many people they would not even got that far because they're thinking, this isn't going to work. Why would I go spend all this money? It's not going to work. Mm-hmm. Not only did you spend the money, but you've already been here for almost a year doing this. You bought a car, you've been here for almost a year, and you got a house to make this dream thing happen. And then you're still saying, we'll see what God does. And she's like, that's either the dumbest thing. Like, that's like, I don't understand it. And I was like, wow, I never really thought about it like that. I guess I just always leave room for God to not do it. And she's like, then why even start it? Mm. If you think that there's a chance that God doesn't want to do it, why waste all your money? Why waste all your time? Mm. Just stay home. And it really affected me because I was like, well, if he gave me the resources for the car, if he gave me the resources for the house, if he had this agency that heard three of my songs and was like, we want to pitch your stuff. We think you're amazing. So I got signed in a matter of 2 weeks from being there. And I already had 6 placements since I've been with these people. Why are you still saying, we'll see what God does?
Which they tell you, you don't get placements that quick.
No, even my friend Sam, who gets a placement every week now, like he's balling. He's like, yo, that's really good. And he gets placements for like 15,000, 100,000. Like he gets placements.
Wow.
My placements are 1,500. He didn't even care. He was just like, bro, that doesn't happen. You know, yeah. I had a fluke placement my first month and then it took a year to get anything.
That's Sam talking.
Yeah, that's Sam talking. So he's like, I just couldn't write a good song for the life of me. I couldn't, not a whole year, imagine, not one placement. And I'm writing like almost every day. He writes like every day. And he was just so like distraught. He was like, so you getting like 4 or 5, I know they're not a lot of money, but you got 4 or 5 in your first like month or two.
Yeah.
That's bananas.
Wow.
So all these things are pushing me to believe that anything truly can happen in a year. So now my goal this year is to not at the end of it find myself lacking faith.
Mm-hmm.
That's the goal. The goal is at the end of it, have as much faith as I did at the beginning to believe something is gonna happen this year.
Yeah.
This year, like our lives can change. It takes one placement. It takes 2 songs. It songs that I've already written. You know, like a couple other of my friends, they have songs that they wrote 3-4 years ago that just placed for their biggest placement. Could you imagine writing 3 or 4 years ago and you're like, man, that song's old, like who cares? And you're getting excited about all the new stuff. And then all of a sudden this old song gets a $250,000 placement. And you're like, what the hell? I thought, like, I forgot about it. It was a forgotten song, much like my hopes and dreams in this career. And then boom, it happened. And I have this feeling that it's like when we change our perspective and look at this thing like we're doing and believing like every year is a new chance, not like time that we just want to sludge through,
mm-hmm.
but it really is a chance to like believe that your life can change almost like utopic.
Mm.
Like almost utopic, like just like I could by the end of this year be standing somewhere that I only dreamed of, that it really never sat in my heart that it could be real. And that's like what I'm believing for now, which is why I'm putting my work ethic. I just have to make sure that my faith keeps up with my work ethic because I sometimes choose to ignore it and just keep doing the work. Because I feel like at least I'm doing the work. At least I'm giving God the seeds to water.
But then you're partnering with doubt and...
It's not even that I'm partnering with doubt. I'm not even considering the question. I'm not even asking the question. I'm just doing the work. Hoping that someday I'm just like, the work's being done. Like the seeds are being planted. If you want to water it, you can. But while I'm here, let me not hope. Let me not have faith. Let me not think anything. Let me just go about my, let me just go about my day and just love my life, love my wife. And then I get peaks of fear. Like, oh my God, what if it all goes up? No, it's going to be good. God, it's going to be good. Oh my God, what if we go broke? No. Today I had it when we were riding our wheel today. We were going into our wheel and I was literally telling Ange, I was like, so if we don't make any more money again, this is what we have to give everybody if we die. This is pretty good. You know, it's pretty good. But in my mind, I was like, damn, like, what if we don't make any more money and we have to spend it all and we don't leave anything to anyone? Like, these are the things going through my head. Mm. And I hate it. I hate it because there's just momentary times of lack of faith.
I feel that, like, in a very real, genuine way. Like, I realize how much I don't trust God with my life. Mm. I trust him in certain areas. And I remember this was a conversation, actually. This was either like when Maddie and I first moved here, and it was one of the first times we hung out over here. And I forgot who was here, but we ended up having this conversation, and you said something that was actually like super profound, and it kind of gave language to something that I couldn't like really verbalize. And it was like, look, either he's God or he's not. Like, you either... he's either like, he can do everything or he can't do anything. Like, you can't be in the middle like, yes, God, I know you can give me a breakthrough here, but I can't trust you to give me future love. You do.
I know. I was like, I say this.
Yeah. No.
Did somebody say this to you? This like, is what I say.
He was probably there at the house. He was in that conversation. And I realized that because there's so many areas of my life where I trust God. Like, man, I've been in services where I have seen crazy things. I met a woman who had been deaf her entire life, and I prayed for her, and I put my hands on her ears, and I commanded the deaf ears to open up, and they opened up. I'm a teenage kid, and I'm thinking, oh my God. I remember being in this one service, and this one lady had a leg who was shorter than the other, and I had faith. I said, God is going to grow your leg out, ma'am. And so I had her take her shoes off, and literally I'm holding her right leg and her heel in both hands. And literally before my eyes, I see her leg grow out right before, like a leg growing.
Wow.
I saw a lady one time in a service. And again, sometimes when you see blind eyes, it's weird because it's got like this like mm-hmm. milky coating over it. Uh-huh. And I remember I'm watching her in the service. She's sitting like third row back in the middle. And there was just such a strong presence of God in the room. And she literally laid hands on her own eyes. And I'm seeing the milky coating in both of her eyes. She closes her eyes. She prays for herself. And as she opens her eyes, the milky coating like literally seeped off. And it's these beautiful blue eyes.
Whoa.
Receives vision for the first time.
Wow.
So I have faith for God to do miracles like that. Like if we see somebody, like especially when I was in college, man, if I seen anybody like on crutches or wheelchairs or whatever, I was a little bit reckless. Like I'm like, God's going to heal you. Now, again, he didn't heal them every single time, but I had faith. I had faith that, look, God's going to take care of me. Like, whatever it is, whatever season I'm going through, I'm going to have enough. God's going to take care of me. But then when it comes to so many different other things in my life, I don't trust him. Mm. And so it's like, I want to trust the parts of him that I'm like, yeah, I know for sure God's a healer. But I don't really trust you in my finances, God. That's why it's always been a struggle for me to tithe, because I'm feeling like I'm losing money. Mm. That's why there's so many times where I like feel like I'm grinding way too hard, because truth is I don't trust God with my money. Mm. And so it's so crazy because this year that's kind of been one of my things inside of me where I'm like, man, I actually want to trust God. Now, again, I know it's a lifelong journey. I'm not going to get it done in 1 year, but I feel like that's my intention that's set. Like, I'm like, man, I actually want to trust God with my life and my dreams. Because there's so many times where I have to take control, or I feel like I have to take control. And it's just proof that I don't really trust him. Because I mean, especially as a believer, like every battle, every spiritual warfare, however you want to label it as, it all comes down to, do you trust God or not?
Yeah.
Like, it really does.
And you know what? The funny thing is that I think these things will happen to us, like the doubt of life not changing in a year, it being the same thing, you know, 2020 is going to be the same as 2019. It's normal to have these peaks of doubt. But like I always say, if it keeps you from moving forward, then it is taking you. But if in those doubts, in the middle of those doubts, you still step out. So in the middle of me doubting, I didn't cancel my trip to Nashville.
Right.
I'm still going for a whole month, and I'm going to go write, and I'm going to go do my thing. Even though I'm like, oh, will this work? I choose to look at my doubt and fear and be like, screw you, bro. Like, I'm going. Mm-hmm. I'm not gonna stay here and just believe the doubt. I'm going to step out. I'm going to get on that plane. I'm going to spend our money. Go over there believing that God's going to give it all back. And I think when it does, that's when I tell people, like, either you're all in or you're all out. Like, you cannot say that you believe God for these things and then you don't believe him for the other things. Like, then what, like, is it a la carte God? Like, is it Jesus a la carte? Like, you do these things, God, I'm going to hold on to these things because I can figure them out. Like, I just don't want to live a life like that. And I think that's what this year is doing. It's stretching me so much with Ann just being on sabbatical and literally the only hope to make money is whether or not I get a placement or not. You know what I'm saying? And it's making me fight every single fear that is in my heart of going backwards and believing that this insane amount of faith is going to push me forward, like in everything, in every way possible. I was almost scared to just say it right now. I believe, and I want to say it because I want to like confront my fear. I do believe that at the end of the year, and I know money isn't everything, but I will have made some money. I don't even know what to say. I want to say a lot, but I'm a little scared. I don't know if that's being sacrilegious. Is that being sacrilegious?
I don't know.
I want to say I'm going to make a lot.
What do you there really feel?
I want to make a lot. If anybody hears me and then knows my heart, I don't make a lot of money just so that I can go buy dumb shit. Like, we like to do stuff with our money and be generous, but I want to make our yearly nut.
There we go.
I'm not going to say what our yearly nut is because my wife will kill me, but it's definitely not a little bit.
Very true.
It's a lot. And I want to say, and I felt that from the beginning, and I don't know if it's God telling me or if it's just me saying God.
Crazy faith, like just pulling on God, yes, like, saying, hey.
Not that I'm going to go like take this money and I'm going to go buy a Bentley. That's not why. I want so badly to look at this year and look back and say, I said it at the beginning, I believed it in the middle, and I saw it at the end. Mm. I want to show receipts. I want to talk about this to people and let them know, hey, like, this is the reality of what can happen in a year.
Yeah.
Like, God can do this.
I want to share really quick my year story.
Yeah.
Because I shared Gina's, but I'll keep it brief because I have mentioned this before on one of our very first podcasts in the first season. 2007, January, I have nothing to my name. I'm on unemployment. My unemployment checks had run out, so I have no money. I have no agent, no opportunities coming my way. I was ready to move home and I stayed in LA pursuing my dreams for two reasons. One, because my sister would send me money to pay my rent and give certificates to the grocery store so that I could eat food. And I felt deep in my spirit that God was saying, I'm not done yet. Like, I felt it in my gut that he was saying, I'm not done yet. And this is when everything in my life is saying the complete opposite. Like, you're at zero. You're in negative right now. So you done. And I felt God be like, no, not done, not yet. So I stayed for those two reasons. January 2007, I have nothing. This YouTube video comes out of me doing the nail salon joke. From January to February, there's over 4 million views on this video, on this brand new thing called YouTube. And so from February to about March, April, everybody in Hollywood had seen this nail salon video, from network executives to agencies to all kinds of people have seen this video. And I was getting messages on MySpace because of how long ago it was. I was on MySpace. I would get messages from assistants to executives. Hey, I'm the assistant to so-and-so at CBS, Fox, NBC, name, fill in the blank. They were messaging me. They want to meet with you. I had to buy a calendar because I didn't even have a calendar. I didn't know. I have nothing going on in my life. I had to go buy a calendar. This is before like iCal.
Yeah.
I had to go to like Staples and buy a calendar. And so then I ended up getting an agent, getting a manager. And by May, I had auditioned for Mad TV and I had booked Mad TV. And people started requesting me at comedy clubs like all over the country, all over the world. Hey, when are you coming to Australia? When are you coming to the Philippines? When are you coming here? And I had 12 minutes of material. That's all I had. I wrote 12 minutes in my free joke writing class that I took at a church on Tuesday nights. All I had was 12 minutes. Hey, when are you coming to the Philippines to perform? Oh, that, are you going to fly me for 12 minutes? So I was like, well, I guess I better write some more material so I could go perform places. So I start writing more jokes. Now you know, babe, as you've watched my process of writing, it takes a while to write new material. Everybody's different. Some people, they can write a new hour every year. Some people, it takes some 4 years to write an hour of material. I ended up writing about 45 minutes of material in that one summer. Just kept writing jokes. By the end of the year, I was touring as a headlining comedian, a stand-up comedian, with my 45 minutes of material. So from January 2007, where I had nothing to my name, I had no opportunities, no agent, no manager, no money to pay my bills, to buy food, to eat, no reason to be staying in LA. I had no business staying in LA trying to chase my dreams. At that point, that was irresponsible of me to stay in LA. But I stayed because God told me I'm not done yet. Hold on. And then my sister was like, yeah, hold on. Here's some money. And so January 2007, nothing to my name. By the end of the year of 2007, I was on a hit TV show called Mad TV, and I was touring the country as a stand-up comedian. 1 year.
That's crazy.
I'm still waiting for my next year like that.
Yo, but wouldn't it be crazy if it was this year? I almost want it to be this year just because I won't be able to explain it.
That's good.
It's good. Like what happened when you got your, you know, when Amy Schumer offered you that role in that movie. No audition, no whatever. We were on vacation and you were just like, let me just go up and do comedy in this little basement in London.
Little backstory on that for everybody's like, wait, what? What movie?
I thought did I talk about this before?
No, Manny and I, first of all, to get me to take a break, to take a vacation, it's very difficult to do. Finally, Manny got me to take a vacation because I'm like, oh, what if an opportunity comes up? What if an audition comes up and I need to be here? What if I get to film something? Oh, I need to be here. So finally, we go on vacation. We go to Europe. And I posted that I'm going to go do stand-up at a club in London. We're in London. Mm-hmm. And so I called my manager. I was like, hey, could you just give me a set at a club here? I've never performed in London. I just want to go do like 15 minutes. Okay, cool. I posted that I was going to go there. Well, Amy Schumer saw my post and she messaged me and was like, hey, I'm in London too. I'm going to come to the club. I'll come see you. And so she comes to the club. And so now both Amy and I go up and we both do a set. And after that, we went and hung out with her, went and had dinner. It was a great time. And then we came back again the next day, did another set. And then we moved on with our vacation. We went on from London. We went to Ireland, to Spain, and we finished our vacation. By the time we got to Spain, I got a text from Amy that was like, hey, do you want to be my movie? I got you a part in my movie. And I was like, oh, yeah. Yeah, sure do. Sure do want to be in the movie. Thank you so much. And that came out of rest.
Wow.
That came out of a season.
And that was the thing that I kept telling her, like,
not striving, not hustling, but resting.
If it's for you, it's for you. It's that. And I like things like that. And the movie was I Feel Pretty. We didn't get to do it because...
Let me tell you. Let me say this. Yeah.
Okay.
It was the movie I Feel Pretty. And...
at least take over after I left off.
And we didn't get to do it because the scheduling didn't match up where I could go and film in Boston for a month. I had a bunch of stand-up shows that I willingly canceled my shows because I was like, this is a great opportunity. I got to cancel my shows. I will reschedule them and come back. Well, one of those shows threatened to sue me if I didn't show up. So it was either do the movie and get sued for lots and lots of money, or you don't do the movie and fulfill your contract. So that's what I had to do. So that's why I'm not in that movie.
But we omit that part because God still did. Yeah. She still technically got the role.
Yeah.
We just couldn't fulfill it, you know, but it came out of rest. Like no one could take credit for that. No one. It's so random. From her not wanting to take any time off because she believed if I strive hard enough, I'm going to get this thing. To us in London having a blast. Her doing a show with Amy Schumer at this little basement that holds like 40 people. To which when they announced both of their names, nobody in the place believed that and either of them were there. Until they saw them on stage and they were like, oh, you guys, they thought it was like a joke.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, we end up at dinner with Brandon Fraser, you know? And so it was me, Brandon Fraser, and Amy Schumer eating dinner in London, just having a good old time. And then we walked the streets. We talked about everything, life, love. In London, it was just dope. And I was like, we live in the same city and this has not happened, you know? But it took us going all the way across the world. And I really feel like it's those kind of things that have stuck with us. And it's like, God, you can do anything. I am hoping that by the end of the year, I can look back and say, God met our yearly nut. Like, he did it. Yeah. And I think that will be the best.
Not even met it, but like blew exceeded our minds. It.
Maybe I'm thinking too small. Maybe I'm thinking way too small because I'm literally like preparing myself to look at our bank account and be like, crap.
Why are you doing that? Stop self-sabotaging us.
Because I know if we don't bring no money in, we're taking hella steps back.
No.
That's how I'm seeing it. So I want to look, I know there's a faith way in all that crap, but in reality and numbers, and when I go talk to our business manager, it's going to say you took a good 2 years step back. That's how much money you guys had to whatever. I want to be able to say that we took 2 years forward.
Okay.
Like that it was this insane amount of just provision.
Yeah.
To where we lost nothing. That's what I want to believe.
God coming through. When I pray before I go to preach, there's like a couple things I always say. But there's one thing that I always say. I don't remember who I heard it from, but he says, God, would you do something in the service that would distinguish between what man can do and what God can do?
Mm.
And that is like one of my prayers for my life. God, that you would do such an amazing work in my life that people could not point to me and say, look how amazing he is. But it would just be a testament of how good God is in my life. Now, again, that is not devoid of me working hard. That is not devoid of me doing everything possible to work the dream that God placed inside of me. Yep. But at the end of the day, he's still going to go above and beyond because at that point, his name is on the line too. And he is showing himself strong in my life. And again, one of my favorite verses, I feel like this is the most preachy I've gotten in a while. It's found in First Chronicles. And there's this verse that says that the eyes of the Lord are looking throughout the earth to find hearts who are completely his so that he could show himself strong on behalf of them. So it's like the Lord is just looking for people who would just say, yes, God, I trust you with my life. Yeah. And what happens after that point is God says, okay, I am going to show myself strong on your behalf. And again, if you imagine, like, what does it look like God showing himself strong in our life? That looks like blessing you. That looks like provision for the dream in your life. That looks like God opening up the right doors for your passion. That looks like you finding your sweet spot in your lane. Like, and I want all of that.
Yeah.
So it looks like joy too.
Yeah, that's like,
it looks like Abram. I was reading today in my holy Bible. And
was it your Jewish study Bible?
It was my Jewish study Bible. And I was reading about Abram and the first time he met Melchizedek. And I don't know why I've never, this story never jumped out of me. Because I don't know if you guys think of Abraham, like usually when you think of him, you think of the father of the nations, an old guy, him and Sarah, old, they had kids. I just think of him as old, right? So in this story, it's talking about the first time. So where he lived, there were these four kings that came together and they formed an alliance and they just started taking over all the areas and the nations and the kingdoms around them. They were just taking over. Just like, imagine if the U.S. got with London and got with whatever and just started just taking over countries. That's what these four kings were doing, right? But Lot's off doing his thing. I mean, Abraham's doing his thing, right? Until these kings take over the place where his nephew Lot is in. So one of the people that get away from the war, because they take it over, they take Lot as a prisoner. One of the people gets away, comes to Abraham and says, hey, these four kings got your boy Lot, got your nephew. Abraham immediately takes him and 318 from his own household. Right out. I'm thinking 318 people against four kings and their armies? He goes after them. Mm. Full out high speed chase. Catches up to them. Kicks their ass. Gets lot back and all the stuff that they stole from the kingdoms, gets it all. Mm. Just jacks them. Comes back home. The kings that were that got taken over said, "What? Abraham did what? Come to meet him to give their thanks." And that's where he meets Melchizedek. And Melchizedek blesses him and blesses his household. And that's where Abraham gives him a tenth of what he took. And this Abraham is so G. This is how much he was blessed, and this is the kind of life that I want to lead. He says, "I don't need any of the spoils. Just give them to my guys. I'm good. God will take care of me." Could you imagine kicking four kingdoms' butts and then like saying, "I'm good.
First of all, I don't need it." You are that guy.
I was literally thinking the same
you
thing.
You are the guy who said when you're breaking up with your bandmate and you said, "Just leave me enough to pay my band." You're the guy who went on tour and says, "As long as you give me enough to pay my band." Who's going to get paid? Them, not me, but.
Yeah, I didn't get paid.
You are that guy.
That's what hit me so hard is that he was a G. And at the same time, he really was like, he had this insane amount of faith. It was bananas. The faith to go after them.
Yeah.
The faith then to not even take part of the spoils of the world. He was just like, "Just give it to my dudes. The guys that came with me, give it to them because they deserve it. But I'm good. I don't need anything."
Yeah.
And that's when Melchizedek, he blessed them. He blessed Abraham. Yeah. I think that story is so insane. But Abraham lived a life to where it's like, it's an abundance. Like at this point, it's an abundance. And he didn't have to do anything for it. Literally, he just had to get up and go. Because before that, God was like, "Go, walk, I'll tell you where. You don't know now, but I'm going to let you know when you get there." And he just walked by faith. Mm-hmm. That's insane to me. And I feel like that's what this year is. This is that
he rode out
Abrahamic moment. He just, yeah, like we're just riding out. You're taking a break to really connect with God. I'm planting seeds, believing that God is going to water them.
I'm excited right now.
I know.
And I just feel like, I don't know. I feel like by the end of the year, no matter what happens, I feel their disappointment won't be a part of our story.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever that means.
Yeah. So, man, if you're listening right now, I hope you feel this hope that I feel right now. Just a hope for like, man, this year is going to be your year. Like, it doesn't have to be like what it's been in the past. You know, like who knows what new amazing way God is going to show up in your life. Like this year could be your favorite year. I always think about that sometimes. Like we talk about if you could go back and give yourself one piece of advice, what would it be? And that's you seeing big picture, obviously looking back in retrospect. But what would even 2021 Brandon tell 2020 Brandon now?
Shoot.
Of like, yo, B, stick with it. Trust me. Like, it is about to go crazy for you, you know?
Right.
And like, you guys are going to have that type of year, you know? And I just think it's going to be so special. So
it's something that I told myself while I was touring because I got tired of like being up and down on the roller coaster of faith. I would super doubt him and then he would come through. I would super, super doubt him and just be like, "Man, God, this sucks. Where are you?" And then he comes through. So this time I'm like, screw that. No doubting periods. No where are yous. Just all thank yous. I will no longer have to look back and ask forgiveness for the lack of faith. Don't want to do it. I don't want that to be a part of my life.
What you were just saying right now, like what would 2021 Brandon tell 2020 Brandon right now? And I thought about, okay, well, I wonder what I would tell myself. Like I wonder what it's going to be like and what I would look back and say. And I go, because before we started recording, I was telling Brandon how I was having like a battle with shame and guilt of resting because I was trying to just watch TV and do nothing. And I had so much shame and guilt for doing that. And I feel like 2021 Ange would tell 2020 Ange of right now, girl, enjoy your TV. Enjoy rest days.
I had that moment.
Just go have a glass of wine. And just watch your binge, all your shows.
Remember when group one was done? I was like at home just doing nothing. And I was like, babe, I'm not used to this. This feels like I'm just lazy. Like, mm-hmm. I'm just lazy. But then God showed me, you have not taken a break in 14 years. Literally, not a vacation, mm-hmm. nothing. 14 years of going hard all day, every day. Mm-hmm. Bruh, relax.
Yeah.
And then what happened? I get the capital deal.
Yeah.
Not even trying. I get the deal that I've been searching for all my life. Mm. It was literally $1 million deal. And I didn't even have to step into the room. I didn't even have to try. I wrote 3 songs. We had 4 photos. That's it. And half of a music video. And we got $1 million deal out of that. No, I never even stepped into the day I stepped into the label was when, the papers were already signed. I already had, we already were signed. We just went in to say hi to the CEO. I never even met with someone. No one came to see us. It was bananas, but it all came from resting.
Yeah.
Dude. I don't know if you're hearing this, guys, but I just feel like
go take a nap.
Whatever's
sit your ass
happening
on the couch, watch some Netflix.
Whatever's happening in your life to where maybe there's some ounce of doubt of this year becoming nothing, or maybe you just don't, you can't see what the next year is going to bring or what a year can do. I'm just hoping that these small stories would at least in some way give you hope that your year, this next year, you're going to be singing different praises, whether you believe God or not, whatever. You're going to be thanking the universe. You're going to be thanking someone that your year has done a 180. And we believe it for you, and hopefully this podcast gave you a little bit of faith wherever you find yourself on your faith journey. I'm excited.
Me too.
Me too.
Oh, we really do. We pray that you find a seat at the table. But if you don't, you guys are always welcome at ours. Cheers.
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 I don't even know what I'm doing sometimes.
Yeah. Up in LA from Old Town, not from here, but home now from 4-7. Now 818 from no crib to real estate, from no faith to God here. I can't lose, that's no fear. Spit my zane, it's so clear that this here is my year. They don't even know our limits. They don't know our limits. They love how we be living. Like, so white guys, guys, what a fight's like, yeah. But I won't go when I can't leave, cause a voice man, it just haunts me. She underwater, I can't breathe. In a small voice, she reminds me, like, yo. Remember the days that you knew,
what you knew,
that all this could happen to you.
Yeah, you.
You just keep spitting the truth.
The truth.
You right there, you right. Nothing that you cannot do.
Can I do?
With a mic and a voice and a booth.
And a booth.
Tell the world to get ready for you.
I get ready for you.
They don't even know our limits. They don't know our limits. They love how we be living. They don't know our limits. They don't know
how. I be telling them. They don't really know. They don't really know. They don't know why. They don't know our limits. I be telling them. Yo. They don't ever really know. They don't ever really know.
They don't call the crib. I'm not there. I'm somewhere. Probably in the air, got Wi-Fi, so I'm checking mail. My wife like she on the cell. We blessed now, so we bless up. We hot true, that's bless us. We not you, don't test us. We know now, no limits, yeah.
Remember the days that you knew,
what you knew,
that all this could happen to you.
Hear you?
You just keep spitting the truth.
The truth.
You right there, you right.
Right. Nothing that you cannot do.
Can I do?
With a mic and a voice and a booth.
And a booth.
Tell the world to get ready for you.
I get ready for you.
They don't even know our limits. They don't know our limits. They love how we be living.